It's quite an accomplishment when music can simultaneously rest on its own established artistic merit and bring an acute awareness to a cause much greater than simply charitable purposes. And that's what Judy Campbell's group has achieved with this new album that contains five pieces at length and two brief solo interludes about the plight of Kenyans in their struggle for clean water. Using similar vocal textures and regional rhythms from their album Colours of Kenya, including Kenyan percussionist Bendika Engau, Mosaic have been reignited by the undercurrent of the bassist Carl Dunnicliffe, the force of Tim Firth's drums, and the nimble piano playing of Greg Coffin. The new EP Waters of Kenya is the second CD collaboration with Bendika Engau and was inspired by the group's association with the Tweed Shire Council of New South Wales, whose Kenyan mentoring program operates in remote parts of Kenya to ensure clean water for local people. The CD is a collection of songs that relate in one way or another to the multifaceted theme of water in Kenya. Judy Campbell and Mark Ginsberg, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you.
Hi.
And I wanted to ask you initially about the opening track on the album, Judy and Mark. It describes this plight of Kenyan school children and their daily task of providing water for the school. Can you describe this process?
And also, actually, as I think I mentioned in the liner notes, that happily this particular situation has been remedied, but it still exists in many other places in Kenya. This particular situation that inspired the lyrics for this song, it's at a school in western Kenya called Manyanza, where there was no local clean water source, and the young girls would, in the morning, instead of sitting down and learning stuff, they would have to trundle water miles, literally miles, like 5 miles, you know, there and back with the water, for the day's water requirements. And the organization Engineers Without Borders teamed up with a project from Montana State University, and they dug wells in the area. They, you know, did all the background. Obviously, the engineers came in and did their thing. And they found how to source clean water much closer by. So that situation has actually been remedied. But that's what it is, that these young children have to carry these enormously heavy, of course, containers of water for long distances when they should be getting an education. And ostensibly that's what they are doing because they're at school, but that's not what's happening.
So that's a very early start for them, to go 5 miles and back,
yeah,
with water.
That's right.
And by the time they get back to school,
it's like mid-morning, and
yes,
whatever they've missed, they've missed. And
they're pretty exhausted, and then start their lessons.
That's right. They made this DVD based on the funds that we get raised through sale of Colours of Kenya. And then they used the music from Colours of Kenya on the DVD. So there's this, just been this kind of ongoing collaboration.
And, of course, it increases the awareness of this particular issue, doesn't it?
Well, that's right.
And a direct link in the northern part of New South Wales, which is doing something about the problem.
Yes, something very direct and pretty impressive. You know, they've got sponsorship from the International River Foundation now, and a number of other ongoing, quite substantial sponsors. So it's a good thing they're doing. And I don't know if you're aware about the United Nations running. There's a 10-year clean water. It's called the decade. The Clean Water Decade, I think, is what it's called. And there's quite a focus on this whole area globally. They say their aim is to have everyone, the 2 billion people, I think their estimate was, do not have water out of a tap that you can drink, to have water by 2015. So I don't know, but anyway, it's worth giving it a shot.
Every drop counts.
Yeah.
And we were just talking off air about how that particular track came about, and it really is an undercurrent itself, isn't it, Mark? Tell us about that.
We were doing a gig up at the Dungeon in Adamstown in Newcastle, and I think it was just between setting up. Bendika was just, you know, playing his marimba and dancing with himself as he usually does. He's always got some melody or something going on. So I took my phone out and recorded it, and that sort of sparked the thought for this tune. It was just a beautiful rhythm that he was playing, a beautiful little sound, and that's what you hear throughout the entire song, in fact, is this sort of...
Yeah, it's like a constant river.
Like a river.
But Bandika has a special relationship with the earth, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. He's always concerned about looking after Mother Earth, and most of the melodies and songs that he writes have something to do with raising that level of awareness or concern. So it's a very sort of good fit with the album and the project. I think that's sort of further gelled the whole thing.
Yeah, and the whole ethos of the Mosaic project ongoing. You know, it's a very good fit with Bandika because of these kind of aligned philosophies. We can go on all night about that. We can talk into the wee hours about all that.
But there's another facet, of course, of the Kenyan life as well, isn't there? Like I think I described it last time you were on as the Gold Coast resort.
Oh, yes.
Facet of Kenya, and that's what inspires the track Easy Life.
Absolutely.
What's the story with Mombasa here? Are we seeing two separate, I guess, classes in Kenya? Or why is a certain portion of Kenya much, much better off than others? Is it infrastructure?
Well, Mombasa has being a port and also being a beautiful spot. There are beautiful beaches and there are hotels, so it's a tourist destination. It's where a lot of the wealth sort of comes into the country. But there's this friction between what happens on the coast and what happens in the country, because the people who live back in Nairobi don't have this beauty, and they don't necessarily have access to the tourist trade, the funds, etc. Mm. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on about actually, usurping or getting a hold of this flow, if you like, of revenue.
Because the coast province, which is one of the provinces of Kenya, but that's the province where Mombasa is, and as Mark said, that's the port. Obviously, that's kind of it holds a certain power, I guess. It does create some interesting, socio-political, I guess, tensions around the place. Mm-hmm. But also something that should be mentioned is that the strip, which is very long, it's all this whole coastline of amazing 5-star resorts and so on. The clientele there are pretty much not Kenyans. So it's not like the people in Mombasa have got this amazing lifestyle and access to it. Bandika works in those hotels quite a lot, as a part of a music and dance troupe. So it affords him part of his livelihood. But I think it's a tourist thing. And I guess that's what these lyrics are trying to say in this particular song, is that, while it's beautiful, of course, it's lovely, and this is also an aspect of water in Kenya, because there it is, and it's beautiful, and it's enjoyed by a lot of people from all over the world, and it brings revenue in, but it's just one little facet, and it's not available to everyone.
So it's the beautiful beach, I'd imagine, but it's also that water that they can turn on a tap in these 5-star resorts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That runs quite freely.
That's right, no problem there.
Now, this is based on a beat known as the Zandale.
Yes.
Is that right? Tell us about that.
Oh, do I have to? No, I'll tell you why. It's because, we're always playing around with different beats when Bandika is around, because he's, the music is just kind of around all the time around him. And sometimes he'll just be kind of fiddling with something and we'll say, oh, what's that? And he'll say, oh, that's just a this or that. And this is one of those beats. And he said, oh, this is Zandale. And I always ask him what the background of these things is, because there's always a story. It's never, or rarely is it just like a little nice sounding motif or beat or rhythm. There's almost always a story. Anyway, so Zandale, he said, it's the beat for the old ladies to dance to. Now, like on the Colors album, we had the lullaby, Kenyan style, Nyamale, which I mean, there's no Western kid that's going to go to sleep to that. It makes you want to get up and dance. Mm. But I guess, you know, these are spunky old ladies. But I just felt it was kind of a cruisy beat, and because of the idea of the song of Easy Life, a cruisy beat felt like the right thing.
Yes.
To deliver some of that message.
Let's go through the musicians here as well. Judy, you're playing the mbira here, the array mbira.
Mm-hmm.
The chupuo, is that a drum?
Chupuo is chupuo? It's one of the side drums.
And you're playing that, Mark, along with Bandika. Tim Firth on the drum kit, Carl Dunnicliffe the bass, Greg Coffin on the piano. A couple of new members, three new members to the band there, relatively new. And the vocalist, Justine Bradley, along with yourself, Judy, and Mark.
Yeah.
The root cause, I guess, of the lack of water, lack of clean water in Kenya, is it a combination of both the lack of rainfall and lack of infrastructure, or is it one more so than the other?
It's a combination. I mean, there's been drought over the last number of years, which has been a big problem, and they haven't had the understanding or the technology, the wherewithal to either dig wells or build dams. So,
well, also the dams that they have built have been very, not high-tech dams. Mm. They're more kind of ponds that have been shored up, and animals drink in there, and, you know, all kinds of stuff comes from upstream that you don't even really want to think about. And they go and collect the water there, and it's orange, actually, some of this water that you see people carrying canisters of it. So I think it's sort of lack of knowledge about the dangers of it.
What's very interesting is there's this trend towards water as a resource. You know, there's talk about it in investment markets that it's going to be the next gold, because it is, you know, such an essential resource that we still take for granted, you know.
Mm.
We still think that we can turn our taps on every day, and we can, those of us who are lucky enough to. But it's a real challenge. Like in China, for example, where, you know, they don't have the amount of natural water they used to have, or clean water, real difficulty growing rice. So, and rice is their staple diet for a lot of people. So it'll be a very interesting period going forwards if we're not able to kind of get our arms around that resource.
Can we recap some of the practical things that the Tweed Council and their Kenyan mentoring program, what are they actually doing on the ground in Kenya?
Well, they have a desk there in Nairobi, a Kenyan person who works over there. And they do things ranging from clean-up, like major clean-up projects in the slums of Nairobi, to clean garbage out of, you know, water streams that just run through the place, but, you know, to try and clean them up a bit, through to these safe water projects, which is, that's the particular area of interest that where we've hooked up with them. And that is where they take this solar-powered water filtration technology. An engineer from Tweed Shire takes it over there and goes out into, you know, some very remote places and installs a unit and trains local people to maintain it and clean it and all that. And then they have clean water. I mean, we've seen these units actually operate in times we've been up there, and they've given demonstrations, and they've had quite they tend to organize events around us being there, and press come, and it's, you know, cocktail parties and potential sponsors and, you know, all of those sorts of things, of course. You know, why wouldn't you? And anyway, so we've seen this thing work, and it's pretty stunning. I mean, do you remember, Mark, when, like, the filthy stuff that they put in the one end and out the other side came this pristine, you know, drinking water? So the local populations of two villages now in Western Kenya that did not have clean water now have it.
I guess if listeners wanted to assist in this whole process, they could probably go to the Tweed Shire Council website.
There's a page on there for the Kenyan Mentoring Program, and there's a whole bunch of information on there about it. It's pretty amazing work they do.
And they also bring young kids out for 6 months at a time. and they, I don't know what criteria they use for selecting them, but they come out and they live with the family. They get billeted and they go to school here, and they deal with it very sensitively because it's a huge culture shock and a change.
So in both directions.
You know, they bring them in and work with them, and you know, work with them with sports through all sorts of things, and then sort of integrate them back into their home.
It's like leadership training is the idea.
This is another beautiful album cover you've come up with. Let me try and describe it. It's definitely looks like an African sky. Is it a Kenyan sky?
It is.
There's some beautifully dark rain clouds on the top part of it. And, of course, the sun is trying to break its way through this cloudy middle part of the skyline. And it's completely flat with a single tree. I don't know what type of tree that could be, but
probably a baobab, or one of those very typical trees you see in the African savanna.
But the landscape there is totally flat. So that's probably a poor description, but you've brought through the colours of Kenya theme with a wonderful profile of a lady with carrying something on her head.
Water canister.
The colours of the previous album, Colours of Kenya.
I actually just want to mention that the artwork for both albums has been done by a very splendid artist, Alistair Nicol, who does all the artwork for the Jazz Groove ongoing series. And he's a most imaginative, creative artist, and he's been amazing to work with, and I'm really, really happy with what he's brought forth on this one, on the cover. Well, Tyranny means, excuse me, but the words go on to say, it's in Daruma, which is Bandika's language, and it says, it's kind of petitioning the wise ones, the elders, if you like, in the tribe, on to pray for wisdom and for deliverance from the world's ills. And that's the first part. Then the second part says that the universe is actually doing fine, and it's us who have the problem. So the universe is doing fine without us, and it's humankind that needs to get its act together. So Justine Bradley and I wrote some English words to try and capture the essence of the words as Bandika explained them to us, so that could be a bit more accessible.
Yes.
Just on hearing, so you don't have to read the liner notes. I've tried to put all the translations in, but yeah.